Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy podcast. We're so glad that you're here with us today. Today we're going to be continuing an interview that we started in the last episode with licensed marriage and family therapist Erica Holmes. And we're going to be talking about balancing high stress and demanding careers with motherhood. And so if you haven't already listened to that first episode, definitely go and listen to that first. And then join us back over here as we continue right where we left off with Erica. So let's jump into today's episode.
Another tool or task that I might use within my therapy sessions would be the topic of multitasking. And my perspective is that multitasking has been a buzzword that was created again 20, 30 years ago, where on a job application or to seem as though you were qualified, you needed to be a multitasker. And so everybody now checks the box. I can multitask. And I don't know how many of us really are efficient at multitasking and what type of skills are required to be an efficient multitasker. And letting go of the need and the identification to say, I'm a multitasker. It's okay. And I think I use this within the context of therapy to say, it's okay to not identify with being a multitasker. It's okay to say, I work efficiently one task at a time and I complete one task from beginning to end. You can complete multiple tasks in a day, but that doesn't mean that you have to be doing them simultaneously to be efficient.
And I think that's such a powerful problem that a lot of people have is that they are trying to multitask all the time. They're watching a TV show, scrolling on their phone, or they're trying to juggle way too many things. And especially what you say, even in the workforce, I know for myself, I am not a multitasker at all. I have zero multitasking capabilities. I cannot sit here and think and listen to somebody else. Or one of my favorite examples is if I'm talking to somebody on the phone and Ruth's trying to tell me something, I hear zero. I don't hear what's on the phone. I don't hear what Ruth says. I hear nothing at all because I cannot multitask at all. And I do think there is a detriment to multitasking where you're not being present or in the moment. But then also, I think you have a tendency not to do any of the tasks very well when you multitask.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this is really, you know, going back to the topic at hand with motherhood and being a successful, in quotation marks, professional, being a multitasker is seen as necessary. And so it's really an idea that my opinion would be that it was put upon us. We ran with it, and now it's important to take a step back and say, I don't want to be a multitasker. I'm actually not a multitasker. And being empowered to say, I'm not going to do all of these things all at the same time. And being an effective mom, being an effective professional doesn't mean that I have to do 10 things at one time, but we just kind of just take it on as the norm. Like, oh yeah, I'm a mom. I do this, that, and that. You know, I can have a baby on my hip while cooking dinner and, you know, looking amazing and have my hair and makeup done and, you know, helping one kid with homework. That's just this chaos and craziness. And it leaves us feeling burnt out. And I think burnout is a result of us trying to multitask.
And I think it's that same kind of badge of honor that people who say, hey, how are you doing? Oh, I'm just busy, right? Like this idea that we have to be busy and we have to show that we are doing something to prove our worth. I think it's that same badge of honor, like, oh, I'm a multitasker. I'm busy. And I think we multitask because we're too busy. Like we have so much to do and so little time. And so we're trying to do this. And I'm trying to type up my daughter's report while trying to, you know, cook dinner. And instead, just like putting it aside, sitting down, looking her in the face and working on this project together and then moving on and maybe cooking with her, you know. But it's because we have so much to do and so little time that we feel like, oh, man, I have to do it this way. But I also know we have enough time in the day to do what God's called us to. And so if I'm doing all these other things, maybe some of those things that are on my plate are not what God's called me to do, or are things that I'm trying to do where maybe it's not right for the season we're in.
I absolutely agree with that. I think it's part of being intentional too, is when you talk, Tim, about when I've noticed I've been off balance is when I'm not aligned with what is my purpose. And I think that's important to take inventory of, is what is my purpose in this season of my life right now? And understanding that seasons do change, seasons come and go, and being okay with what's happening now is having an awareness that what's happening now is purposeful and the season of my life is purposeful. And if I'm focused on now, I can end the season of my life on a positive note so that I'm ready to transition to what the next season is. And I'm not missing out and I'm not longing for past seasons.
Well, that's a powerful last statement that you said right there. And I think that if you aren't very present in the season, you can miss that season and then long for it. Versus if you're more present, then you can enjoy it. And then when you move out of that season, then you're not mournful about it. But that now it's like, okay, now I'm excited for this next new season. But I think that takes intentionality. And if you're not intentional, you miss it.
Right. Absolutely. And I can honestly say right now that looking backwards, because that's the easiest thing to do, right? To look back, is that I feel very secure that the time that I've taken to make these purposeful actions in my life, I'm okay with the seasons that I've been in. And I'm really excited about the season I'm in now. I mean, right now, I'm in the season where I am working again and I feel great about it. I feel confident in where I am. I feel excited about the path that my career is taking now. And I get to experience joy on different levels. And since I'm able to be present and I can experience the joy, that absolutely translates into how my motherhood journey is looking. Because now in my mind, my children are able to see their mother still being, hopefully they're seeing and they're feeling that I'm being intentional with them and I'm there for them. But let's face it, their needs are increasing financially because of what their interests are. So me being able to work more hours, make more money, allows them to participate in the next season of life, which is financially costly for our family. So, you know, moving forward, I don't know what seasons are up next. And, you know, just as humans, as professionals, as parents, as just people, we never really know what season is next. And if we are not intentional about balancing our lives now, when the seasons do change abruptly, which they can, we need to be prepared to make that transition. The importance of being balanced and having an awareness of what once even balanced us before is important so that when seasons change, our lives change, we're ready for it.
And I think that's an important perspective to have, because you never know when life is going to throw you a heavy curveball. But if you expect my life is going to be linear, I'm going to set on this path, and then you get knocked off that path and you had zero expectation that was going to happen, it hurts a lot more. But if you're like, hey, I'm going down this path, but I know something down the line, I don't know what, but I know something down the line is going to knock me off this path and I'm going to have to recorrect after that, it doesn't make you so surprised or bitter when that thing does happen.
Absolutely. And I believe that having a strong understanding of who you are will help when those times come. And maybe that does mean that it's important for you to work with a therapist, work with a licensed professional to help with resolving past traumas. It's important because that can continue to impact us And until we've been able to clear all of that up, clear it out, understand how that impacted us, if we can't do that work, we're going to probably feel unbalanced in most situations. And it doesn't necessarily have to be trauma. Maybe it's an unresolved issue you have with your mom, or an unresolved issue you have with a sibling, or, you know, some event happened in your life where it just left you feeling so unsettled and you never really had a chance to work through it. It's important to reach out and say, you know what, let me do some work on that. Let me resolve that aspect of my life so that I have a better, clearer understanding of who I am, so that when you do have a situation that comes that could be unsettling in the future, you understand who you are, you have that balance.
Oh, yeah, I think that's super important, because I think that if we are living fully in the present now and we are doing all the things we're supposed to and clearing out relationships and making sure that we're good with others and with ourselves, then kind of like what you said before, we're not longing for that past season, or we're not like, oh, regretting that, you know? And I hear it so often in therapy, but even just walking around in life, right? And how other mothers see you and they're like, oh, make sure that you cherish those moments. And I agree, you know, it's one of those things where it's like you hear it and you know it, but then when you experience it, it's so different. And it's really important what you're saying about making sure that whatever season we're in, or whether it's trauma or unresolved relationships, it's important to take care of, because you want to be proud of who you are. And that's part of, you know, the stressors of life and work stress and home stress and relationships and all the things that happen. Part of balancing that is getting things off your plate that shouldn't be there anyway, and reconciling with things that need to be taken a second look at and really worked on. And I do think that helps us live more joyful.
And authentic, if I can add in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Authentic. And I think that goes back to what you were saying in the beginning about really looking at yourself and what do you want, because that authenticity, I think so many people don't know what they want, or don't know who they want to be. They know who they've been told to be, or maybe even how life is just turning out. So however life has turned out, well, this is who I am. But that's not necessarily who you want to be, or the kind of mom or the kind of friend or daughter that you want to be. So I think it is important to sit down and really look at things and correct things that aren't aligned with that purpose. Because like you said, that's when you feel out of balance, is when things aren't aligning with that main purpose.
Absolutely. I think you really summarized how I view being a person overall. You know, the topic is, you know, motherhood, but at the end of the day, we're all people and we're all individuals. And being a female, being a mother, it has unique challenges, just like being a male, being a father has unique challenges. And so without all the labels, just really breaking it down and saying, like, who am I as a person, and how can I be authentic to who I am, and what influences do I really want to have guide me? And it's important to have influences, whether it is your spirituality, your religion, your family of origin, not shying away from that, but really leaning into influences that support who you are. And being very firm with who influences you and keeping those influences close by. Sometimes we think influences can be negative, but I think influences are important, and we need to have a strong understanding who we're going to look towards as well, who we're going to allow us to be influenced, who we want to be influential in our lives.
Well, what you're saying there, it brings me back to what you're saying before about hearing all of these different opinions or statements from people on social media and the influences that you have. And honestly, it's been kind of sticking in my mind, because I think a lot of people, they struggle a lot with other people's opinions of them. But then I think a lot of people are even struggling with the opinions of somebody they've never met, just some social media influencer, and then worrying about what they're thinking, versus what you're talking about earlier is having that smaller community where there's a lot less opinions. And too many opinions can, I think, overwhelm people a lot of times, especially, like, I know young parenting with young kids and all the different opinions about how's the right way to raise young kids. And if you do it this way, you're abusive. If you don't do it that way, your kids are going to hate you when they get older. And you get stuck in all these different opinions. And it reminds me of something I tell couples who are going through affairs. And I always warn them, I say, listen, everybody's going to have an opinion. People are going to say things like, once a cheater, always a cheater. You just need to leave them. It's over. And I always tell them, I say, listen, this is going to sound self-serving, but I don't want you to talk to anybody else about what you should do in this situation. You've hired a professional. Just bet the farm on me and just do what I tell you to do. I'll help you get through it. But the reason why is I'm trying to help them put a little bit of blinders on, because I know that people have a lot of strong opinions about affair situations, and I want them to drown those out. What is your goal? You want to reconcile? Great, let's reconcile. Don't talk to anybody else about it. Just me and the couple, we're just going to work on this and we're going to try to reconcile it. But I do think too many opinions that you allow into your mind are detrimental and damaging to a certain degree. Again, not having enough information is not a great thing, but especially with very hot button topics, you can get way too many opinions and it just causes you to be confused and then wants you to do nothing. And so I do think a big part of balancing is trying to minimize the number of opinions that you care about.
Absolutely. And what you were saying right now is important to highlight when you're saying, you know, trust in me, but the farm on me, it's because as a professional, you know how to be the mirror for them. So you're going to guide them back to what their authentic self is telling them to do and what's best for them. I think that's what's important about the therapeutic setting, is that we're here to help them feel authentic again. And so by them trusting in you, or trusting in me, or trusting in Ruth, that they're going to be able to learn how to trust in themselves. And they're going to come out of this situation feeling whole again, feeling balanced again, and feeling authentic. And that's the importance of the therapeutic setting, the therapeutic relationship.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying, Tim. It's people that we don't even know. We've never even met, and we probably won't ever meet. And they have such a hold on us and influence us so drastically. And we, you know, we're looking for the different likes or the comments that people say. And I've seen, and I'm sure you guys have all seen, people get crazy on different posts and different threads where they're defending their opinion. And we always tell our kids that, you know, you can share your opinion, but you're not there to convince other people. Share it, tell them what you think, and then let it be. Because at that point, when we're talking about them as siblings, they're not trying to convince each other, and they're not going to convince each other one way or the other. And it's even more so on social media, where people are like so invested in this and they're raging on social media, and it doesn't even matter.
Especially when it's an opinion. They're just arguing about what is a better thing or that thing's a bad thing, but it boils down to opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of being balanced is understanding and being confident in your opinions of yourself and in your opinions of the world, and keeping your social media feed full of people that are going to influence you to be confident in who you are. Obviously, without saying, it's nice to understand everybody's perspective, but with social media and social influences, being mindful to continuously surround yourself with influencers and influences that will keep you balanced and will not leave you feeling emotionally drained, looking at yourself negatively. I don't want to hate on social media. I don't want to say social media is bad. I think we are not trained on how to use it to best serve us. And so we have to be very mindful of our interactions with social media so that we're using it in the best possible way to serve ourselves, serve our families, because it is very powerful, and it could be a very powerful tool to keep us feeling balanced, to keep us feeling aligned, to keep us growing as well, and to help us with the ongoing changes in the world so that we can feel secure in who we are when the world is changing around us. And social media can be positive. I don't want to paint it as something that's negative that we need to stay away from, because it is part of our world and it will be part of our world to stay. And it's going to impact generations to come. It's already impacting generations now. The youngest ones, it's absolutely impacting them. And we need to learn how to use social media to keep us balanced and aligned.
I really like what you said there, and I want to add on to that a little bit. So you were saying we haven't been appropriately trained, like how to make social media work for us. But to a certain degree, I think social media has trained us to make it work for the social media companies. But you can train your algorithm, and you can be cautious and careful about people you follow or things that you watch so that it more aligns with and helps you have some guide rails to keep you going down the path that you've chosen to go down. But if you allow it to be wild and take you down any direction, you can go to some very dark or unhelpful places.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to continuously surround ourselves with influences, whether it be in our personal life, our professional life, our social media life. We need to continuously surround ourselves with influences that keep us grounded to who we are as individuals and to stay focused on that.
Yeah, for sure. And what I heard you say, even though you didn't use the term, but this idea of boundaries, right? In order to have balance, being able to have boundaries around us and even boundaries around who we're following and boundaries around the content we're consuming and even boundaries around our time. I think that's kind of the theme of everything we're talking about, is a big piece of balancing is having these boundaries.
Yes, we can continue on that route because I have, I think, a lot to say about boundaries. No, I 100% agree with you, Ruth, that boundaries and balance are one and the same.
So you got to tell people no and they can't do that?
Yes. You need to tell yourself no and you can't do that as well. And you have to be in control of your own balance. And that is, again, going back to what I said in the beginning, is having these conversations with yourself, learning to tell yourself no, learning to tell yourself not at this time, learning to tell yourself at another date later on, because having personal boundaries will allow you to be balanced. You can't keep tipping and overdoing it in one area because your life will become unbalanced. And it's having very mindful, thoughtful, purposeful conversations with yourself, learning when to say no and learning when to say yes. Yeses can be just as powerful as no's. You know, they're both equal. It's the yin and the yang. It's learning when to say yes and learning when to say no. And it's a very fine balancing act.
Yeah. And I think understanding who you are you a person who struggles with yes, or are you a person who struggles with no? Me, I'm a person who struggles with yes. I want to say no to everything. And Ruth's the exact opposite. She struggles with no's, but she wants to say yes to everything.
And I love that you said that, because I think so often when we think of boundaries, people are always over-applying boundaries to other people, right? And they're saying, well, this person stepped on my boundaries or crossed my boundaries, and I need to make sure that I have boundaries with my family here and here. But I think a huge piece of it is exactly what you said. We need to have those boundaries with ourselves.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's important as well. For every yes you're saying, that means you're saying no to something else. And for every no you're saying yes to something else. And to being aware of, when I say no, what am I actually saying yes to? When I say yes, what am I actually saying no to? I think it's a unique way to make decisions.
Yeah. No, and I love that. That's a great way to really think through your decisions. I know for me, that really applies to me, and it kind of impacts me or hits me when I'm thinking about scheduling, because I do tend to overschedule and I don't have that margin that I desire. And I love that you said that, because that's so true. When I say yes to something, say I say yes to going to this thing with a group of friends, I'm saying no to spending that time at home and doing whatever else I need to do, or I'm saying no to something else. So that is very helpful for me to even be reminded of that.
Yeah, and I think that helps when you're thinking of balancing our world and our lives, motherhood, professionalism, it's all part of balancing the boundaries, boundaries with time, boundaries with energy, boundaries in all aspects, boundaries with family, extended family, boundaries with friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, there's so much more that we could talk about. We're going to actually end there for today's episode. We're so grateful for Erica and just the wealth of knowledge that she is. And so thank you for being on our podcast. And I hope that this was helpful for all of you listening. And if you want to connect with Erica or have a question specifically for her, definitely come on over to our Facebook group and join us over there. You can ask it in that group and we'll make sure that we connect you with Erica. All right, you guys, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcast. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.